Hallelujah. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Let me tell you, we need to get back to preaching the gospel. Can I hear an amen? And I'm hearing other things preached today that embarrasses me. And I praise God for the gospel, the good news. Hey, so much bad news today. We need to hear the gospel, don't we? The good news of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm here today because Pastor was going away on vacation and wanted me to fill in, kind of substitute, like, I almost got in trouble. What I was thinking, preachers have a problem whatever they think they say. And so I was disciplined enough to catch it. I was about to make a blunder. It was funny to me, but it wouldn't have been funny to you. So we don't want to go in that direction. Well, I brought along my wife today to give moral support. And she doesn't say amen much. If she does, she thinks it in her heart. But I'm glad to have her support here today. Normally she follows... Yeah. Amen. Normally she follows around her favorite preacher, but today she's going with the second fiddle. I am getting to be well known from one end of this country to the other as the father of Renee. And so here in my old age, I'm getting famous. Well, let me look at the clock. I'm wearing my watch on my wrong hand here today. I had to go to the emergency room last Sunday afternoon, and I'm believing God I'm going to get through this, Lord, today without having to go to the emergency room. I really am. You want to believe God with me on that deal? I tell you, I was so sick, I was asking the Lord to die. Just like Elijah, kill me, Lord, get me out of this. And so they punctured my left hand, and I've got some swelling and pain in my arm, and I think they put all that stuff in the flesh instead of where it's supposed to be. Well, we're supposed to crucify the flesh, but boy, it hurts, don't it? It really, really does. Hebrews chapter 11, and you probably guessed where we're going today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, and then we'll back up to the earlier verses and this great epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 6. Would you mind standing? You'll be seated for a few moments. I'll watch the clock for you today. And maybe one behind me here. No, I guess not. Well, I already like this church when you don't have clocks on all the walls. I preached in a church one time. They had a left-handed clock. That thing ran backwards. And I think it was a decision of the pastor and the board to confuse the people. They never knew what time it was. It's one of these clocks, big thing. This big had a winding stem on top and an electrical cord running down the wall, and that thing ran backwards. I was always confused when I preached in that church, so I just decided to ignore it. That's what we're going to do today. Pastor didn't say that you like to get out at 12. He did not say that. So we're going to see today. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently, say that, diligently seek Him. Now go to the beginning of the chapter. We're going to read a couple of verses at the outset. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2. For by it, that is faith, the fathers or the forefathers obtained a good report. Weymouth's translations of that passage goes like this: by faith, those saints of old won God's approval. By faith, those saints of old won God's approval. This morning I want to preach to you for a few minutes on the subject, the kind of faith that pleases God. Join with me in prayer. Father, I thank you today for the privilege of being in this church. I feel Jesus here. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit because somebody is exercising faith. And by doing so, Lord, they will have faith reward. And I thank you for the privilege of being here. Anoint, give me physical and spiritual stamina today, for I ask it in Jesus' name. And we pray for our pastor today, Lord. Give him rest and help him during these few days of vacation. Bring him back safe and sound. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The elders won God's approval. I want us to keep that in mind. The kind of faith that pleases God. Among those Old Testament saints, there were some illustrious people of God. Men and women that are enumerated for us in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Well, I'm just going to mention some of the men today. That is Abraham. And then the man Jacob is well known to us as one of the patriarchs. And then to every Jew, Moses, apart from Abraham, was the big one. And then, of course, there was King David. People who pleased God, along with Deborah, along with the Virgin Mary and others, who received a good report and were blessed of God and won His approval. Along with these, in the book of Hebrews, there were saints that are unnamed. They were unknown and unheralded. Chapter 11, 38, 39. Of whom the world was not worthy. And those big name guys. But those that are not named, they are known only to the mind of God and His record. The Bible says of whom the world was not worthy, they all obtained a good report and they did it through faith. The all-important consideration here this morning is what will bring God's approval. Friends, you want God's approval. You don't want His frown upon your life. You want to live under the smile of God's divine approval. You want His blessing upon your life. Have you seen some people that seem to be blessed to overwhelming, and then others that seem to have no blessing at all? Well, we might find some reasons for that. One of the reasons, paramount, is that people can please God and win His approval. Do you believe that? Is that the goal of your life, to please God? Well, if the goal of your life is to please people, you're a politician. You act like a politician. You think like a politician. You follow the consensus of the crowd. But I can take you to the Word of God and show you those that did the greatest exploits for God were generally marching to a different drummer. I said marching to a different drummer. That's what I want you to get this morning. You can be going in the exact opposite that the world is traveling and still have God's approval. Hallelujah. So that's what I want us to see as we continue. Now our text says that there is a kind of faith that brings God's reward. Now some might insist that, well, faith is faith. Faith is faith. God can reward great faith. He has rewarded small faith. Well, let's look at the scripture. The Bible talks about little faith as opposed to absolute confidence in God. Matthew 6, verse number 30. Jesus chided his disciples and said, "O ye of little faith." Then there is weak faith as opposed to strong and robust faith. Romans 4, 19. Great faith as opposed to inferior faith. Matthew 8 and 10 commends a Gentile, a centurion, for his great faith. Now there is saving faith in Luke 7 and 50. Romans 3, 28. Then I like this. There's the Abraham kind of faith that staggers not at the promises of God. The God that speaks of those things which be not as though they were. It doesn't say Abraham spoke of those things, invisible things, as though they were and were not. It said that God did. But friends, it doesn't have to be that way. All we have to do is believe God that can speak the impossible into existence and even to raise the dead. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Then there's mutual or common faith, alike precious faith, according to 2 Peter 1 and 1. Romans 1 and 2 talks about the mutual faith, the common faith of Titus 1 and 4. Then there's a steadfast faith as opposed to undisciplined, wishy-washy. Didn't you say that over here on this side of Muskogee County or whatever this is? Wishy-washy kind of faith, up and down, in and out kind of faith. Well, there's some people in Bragg's that have it because the house not filled up this morning. Woo-hoo! Wishy-washy, in and out, steadfast and undisciplined, and are not steadfast. Then there is the pretentious kind of faith without hypocrisy. The genuine faith, what you see is what you get. That's the kind of faith we read about in the Word of God. And then there's the effective faith, effectual faith, active, operative, and it is powerful. Faith is a verb. Oh, glory be to God. It is an active word. It is an active lifestyle and powerful. Then there's that tough and tenacious faith. That kind of faith pleases God. I'm telling you, like a bulldog, you take hold of God and you don't give up because the devil says boo. Anybody listening to me today? A tough and a tenacious faith. This is the kind of faith that God will reward, that doesn't give up. A faith that believes without encouragement from anybody else. Do you have to have a boost in your faith every 15 minutes? You believe God 1 minute and doubt Him the next. Well, that's not what we're talking about this morning. When you talk about Abraham's faith, we forget that it was a long time from the moment when God promised him a son until the fulfillment of that promise. I'm telling you, there's where faith undergoes its test. That when the promise is given and then we wait on the fulfillment, there's where we win or lose. Are you hearing me? We hear the promise and we shout. But I want you to know, that may be on Sunday, but Mondays are coming. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, when we have to lay hold like a bulldog with a tenacious grip upon what God has said and not give up and not depend upon the encouragement of other people too much. Because how many of you know people will let you down? People will discourage you until you want to quit. Jesus talked about a man's foes will be they of his own household, his own family. And if you serve God any length of time, especially if you're living with a spouse that is not a Christian, that doesn't go to church with you, you find out that you have to go on and serve God no matter what they do, no matter what they say. And some of you are saying amen this morning because you can relate to that. Enoch was a man who believed God without any encouragement from anybody. And the Bible says the man walked with God and pleased God, hallelujah, without encouragement from anyone. Now remember, Enoch was the one that was translated too in Scripture. Enoch and Elijah were taken out without dying. Now friends, these are representative saints of every one of us this morning, because I believe in the rapture. I believe there's coming a day as absolutely unbelievable as it sounds that God is going to rapture His people from this planet, and to prove it to us, He's already done it. Hallelujah. Well, glory. And this man Enoch walked that lonely faith walk, and I'll tell you what, it can be that sometimes in the darkened hours of midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, you got a baby burning up with a fever. And around this part of the world, we can get an IMSA pretty quick. I found out last Sunday, when you think you're dying, you get somebody to haul you off to a place where they'll guarantee you'll die before it's over. Yeah. Yes, sir. And then you start trying to fight for life after you get there. You understand what I'm talking about? Especially a country hospital, and I won't tell you where, because it might get back to them, all right? Next time I'd have to go, they would finish me off. Yes, sir. But it's a lonely, lonely walk, this faith walk sometimes. There seem to be none righteous. As we study the record, there seem to be none righteous on this earth save one man, and his name was Enoch. Those were difficult days. If you think we're living in bad days now, you ought to live in Enoch's day. If you think you got it rough now, think again. Because you can run to any one of 100 churches and get there within a half an hour. Any time, day, any Sunday you want to. Or you can turn on your television and hear your favorite TV pastor. Well, my bias almost came out here. Let me be careful about that, all right? And we hear the gospel preached, or we got a tape, or we got something that will encourage our faith. But my friend, this man Enoch, lived in the most difficult time on the face of the earth. The earth had become so perverted and so corrupted. God said, I can't stomach anymore. I will destroy man from the face of this earth. I repented. I'm sorry I even made him and put him on this planet. The very human race was almost extinct. That was the day in which Enoch lived. We think these are the worst days ever, but hang on. Hang on. They'll probably get worse. That's why I'm glad to know Jesus is coming. I said that's why I'm glad to know. It's a blessed hope. Days that try men's soul. Look at the time Enoch lived. Genesis chapter 6. The wickedness of men was great. Men's thoughts were evil. No, I'm not reading from a newspaper. I'm reading from the Bible. Wickedness of men was great. The thoughts were evil continuously. The earth was filled with violence. Time. Very, very difficult. Yes, they were. Things were so bad that God said, I must destroy man from the face of this earth. But Enoch walked this world in white. Hallelujah. In righteousness, in faith, and he pleased God. And he did it without a Bible. He did it without a church. He did it without video and audio tape. He did it without a radio or TV pastor. Enoch never heard a sermon. He never saw a vision that is recorded of him. Never had a prophetic dream. Nobody ever gave him a word of prophecy. He lived and pleased God without any encouragement from anybody. Hallelujah. And the Bible says something that we just pass over, but I touched on it last Father's Day, that he conceived children and brought them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. He was just an everyday guy. guy carrying out his life in the best way he knew how, but faith, had faith in God, and God rewarded him. Hallelujah! Sunday school kid came home from Sunday school and told his mama, said, "Mama, we heard today about a man that went to heaven without dying." "Oh, he did, yes. His name was Enoch." "Well, son, tell me that story." And he said, "Well, God and Enoch used to take these long walks together. Every day the walk would just get longer and longer and longer. And one evening the sun was going down, and God said to Enoch, 'Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is yours. Just come home with me.'" That's a kid's rendition of this story, but he's not too far off, is he? Because this man pleased God. Then let's look at Abraham quickly here this morning. Believed God and obeyed his call without encouragement. Left his homeland, left his family behind. Abraham came from the part of the world where our troops are in today, in Iraq, and in the land of Shinar and Babylon, and between the rivers of Tigris and Euphrates. And Lot, his nephew, came along, tagged along, but he did not encourage Abraham's faith. And even Sarah, his wife, laughed behind his back, if you know your Bible. Yeah, and then lied about laughing about the promises of God. Nevertheless, Abraham kept right on believing. Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promises of God, but through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How could Abraham or anybody else keep on believing when there is absolutely no encouragement from anybody else? Romans 4:21 has the answer. And being fully persuaded, full of confidence, completely assured that he that had made the promise was able to perform it. Is that the kind of confidence, steadfast, unmoving, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Hallelujah. Insomuch the more as you see that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The God that made the promise is the God that will fulfill it. It is the reward of faith to please God, to gain His approval. Job believed God without outward encouragement. He had an unbelieving wife that actually discouraged him. Job 2:9. Then he said, his wife said unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Oh man, why don't you curse God and die?" I improvised on that just a little bit. Yeah, Jesus said that a man's foes would be they of his own household, as I have quoted to you. Now Job had three well-meaning but obnoxious friends that discouraged him. How does a man survive when he's met with rebuff and opposition at every turn by those that are closest to him? He keeps their integrity in God. What does that mean? Integrity, a steadfast assurance to a strict moral and ethical conduct. It is acting honorably with moral clarity. Dear Lord, don't we need that in politics, in public life? Don't we need that in private life? Don't we need that in church life, religious life today? Moral clarity. I think this line tells us the quality of Job's faith. When he went through all these problems, he said, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust in Him." We could argue about his theology, but I want you to know he didn't own a Bible neither, and he didn't own no Copeland tapes. All he had was a word of God. He said, "I have seen Him for myself." Hallelujah. "I have met Him face to face. This God that speaks to me, and though He slay me outright, I will never stop trusting in Him." We're talking about a tough and tenacious faith here. Now, Let me tell you a little story that came to me from a man who knew the situation very, very well. He said a woman came up in the prayer line to be have hands laid upon her. She had a terrible goiter. I have mispronounced that and called it garter, but she had a goiter. And remember the days before we discovered you got to have iodine or that can happen to you. Now they start putting it in her salt and we get plenty of iodine now. But I remember the days when many women I'd see around the church and on the street have a terrible goiter, sometimes an enlargement of thyroid that is as large as a man's double fist. And what a terrible thing it was. They prayed for her and she said, well, praise God. And the next church time, she came back, got up, testified, had big old goiter hanging right here on her neck, and said, I want to praise God that He's healed me of this goiter, all right? And the pastor, he's embarrassed. And he slipped aside and said to her, sister, I don't want to do anything to weaken your faith, but it is evident you have not been healed. You still got that terrible goiter. And she said, well, pastor, I know God healed me because I felt His touch. I felt His touch. And He didn't encourage her. In fact, discouraged her to keep her mouth shut about it. Well, that Monday morning she got up and didn't pay much attention, kind of stumbled into the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and lo and behold, nothing but sagging skin, for the goiter was gone. She believed God even when the pastor didn't encourage her. Are you with me? This is what I'm saying to you this morning. Believing God, no matter what others may say or what they do not say. Some of us take silence as a put down to our faith. Well, God has healed me. People look at you like looking at a calf looking at a new gate. God's healed me. And they say, old sister so-and-so, she's about to lose it now. Now, I'm not going to tell you run around and lie about what God's done for you. But I'm just telling you, when you get the witness in your spirit, claim it. Hallelujah. And testify to it that God has done it. Hallelujah. Now, that don't play well in some places, but it's scriptural to believe what God has said and to stand upon His promises. So this is what I'm saying. Believe God. If nobody encourages you, because there are people in the Bible and in modern times who have done the same. Now, this is going to shock you. Another kind of faith that pleases God is a faith that will believe even when you don't get any encouragement from God. I mean, when you can't find a promise high and low, God don't speak to you. You've been praying, you've been fasting, and the heavens are brass. You might have ever been where I have been. Well, you all are young in the Lord or something, because I have been there. I mean, where I had not a vision, not a dream, not a word from nobody, and as though God has grown silent on me. I can take you to that Bible and show you there are times when God steps back and He is very silent. Why does He do that? In order to test our faith, to test the quality of our faith, to believe what He has done prior in our lives. Are you listening to me? To believe what He's done prior in our life. To remember how faithful He was. To remember a word like Abraham that He said over 20 years ago. Are you hearing me? And stand on that, even though you're not hearing an up-to-date word. Well, I need to change that a little bit. Any word from God's an up-to-date word, because God lives in eternity. I mean, if He says it 11 years ago, it's still good today. Hallelujah. Woo, I felt that. Hallelujah. Still good today because He's God. And He said it. Time has no influence on the Word of God. He says it. He will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. As though He only... Glad you're not sitting here. I'd baptize some of you this morning. All right? As though He said it 15 minutes ago. Wouldn't you like to have a faith that God said it? Thank you, Lord. And go your way and forget it. Set it and forget it.
Amen.
We're not talking about some kind of a Dutch oven here this morning. We're talking about God said it. Take Him at His word and forget it. Hallelujah. And God will do it. Hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, people who... I have scripture on this. I need to give you that. Matthew 15, verse number 21. There was a Palestinian lady. The Bible calls her a Syrophoenician woman. She was a woman of Cana. But if you want to get critical, she was a Palestinian woman as if she lived today. So then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast, cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. Could I put that in Bragg's vernacular? Get rid of this woman. She's aggravating us to death. Now, she's pestering the daylights out of us. Keeps harping on her woman. Her daughter is full of the devil. Now the disciples were annoyed with her persistence. Jesus seemed to ignore her at first. He even indicated that He had some racial biases. You know what He said to her? I am not sent unto, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You are the wrong nationality, lady. I've got no time for you. Jesus said that. You remember what my point was? Have faith in God, even though He does not, God does not encourage you. Now we know from the story why Jesus was doing what He was doing. And then He said, it's not meat, it's not fit, it's not the right thing to do to take the children's bread and give to the dogs. I'll guarantee you, if you came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, I need prayer, I need this and that. Well, we're not going to pray for you today, you're a dog. You wouldn't go back, come back, and you'd probably take half the congregation with you when you left. If a man of God would talk to you that way. Well, we're talking more than the man of God. We're talking about the Son of God. Amen. Said to this woman, I don't have anything for a dog here today. The children's bread is this healing. The children's bread is healing. I don't have anything for you. And you know what that woman said? Truth, Lord. I know I'm a dog. She was a Gentile, an outcast from the commonwealth of Israel. She was regarded by every Jew as not even being able to be saved. She was lost as she could be in the sight of the Jews around her, the prominent group around her. But she said, truth, Lord, even though I'm a dog, but I remind you that even the dogs around the master's table get the crumbs that fall from that table. Truth, Lord. Friends, if you want something from God, whether He is smiling on you at the moment, whether He's patting you on the back at the moment, whether or not He's carrying you around on a satin pillow, no matter whether you're getting the royal treatment or not, whatever God says about you, agree with every word He said. I said, agree with every word He said. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I know that, but even the dogs have some privileges. Hallelujah. They get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. You know what Jesus said? Second time, and both times to Gentile, I have not seen so great faith, no, not even in Israel. Now, we're not leveling accusations against Jesus, but He was just simply testing her faith. And when it came through, it was pure gold. It was called great faith. So, believe God, whether you get any encouragement from man, anybody else, or whether you are overtly encouraged by God. If God seems silent, stay in there and keep seeking His face. One day, God will break His silence. I said, one day, God will break His silence. After all, His Word has already spoken. Hallelujah. And the heavens are full of the Word of the living God. So silent or not, He's always speaking. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better than I intended to. I intend to come over here and just lollygag around this morning and feel in the presence of the Lord. Faith that pleases God believes without prior experience. I have scripture on that. Noah is my example. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. There was absolutely nothing to which Noah could compare the experience that he would go through. It is believed by many that it hadn't even rained of any consequence up until that time. We don't know that for sure, but the book of Genesis said there was a mist that watered the ground, and we believe the possibility there was no real rain as we understand it now. And so Noah heard these words to build an ark. What is he going to build? He's going to build a boat as long as a football field and three stories high. And guess where he's going to build it? He's going to build it on the tallest peak of where he lived. And nobody was building big boats on mountaintops in those days. I said, for one time, the skeptics are right. We ain't done this before. Are you with me? It wasn't popular to build big boats on top of the mountain nearly 1,000 miles from any body of water. Woo! But God said it, and He did it. Why? Because He moved in faith without prior experience. And He saved His family. Hallelujah. We have a Savior today because Noah moved in faith, moved with fear. Now, faith believes God in spite of circumstance. Your circumstance will not always be delightful. If you're just flip of a kid, you may think you have all the faith in the world. Boy, when I was 19 or 20, I knew everything there was to know. Trouble is, nobody asked me what I thought in those days. When I reached 40, suddenly I realized my daddy's smarter than I ever dreamed he was. But now that I've in a few years, I'm going to be looking at 70 down here. Not yet. 70 down here, I may act like it, but really I'm not there yet. I'm telling you what, I don't know much today. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm not picking on you because you're old man, but just, you know, you don't know much. You know why? It's because you've had time to live. And these Johnny-come-latelys that were hatched last week that start preaching on faith troubles me just a little bit. Are you with me? I mean, they've heard a good tape, and they are hot and ready to go. Glory! Heard a good tape, and here they go. They're preaching faith. The next time you hear about them, I mean, you can't hear about them. They already off the scene because they hit a brick wall. Now, friends, you don't know anything about faith till you walk through the fire, and God's taken you through the flood, and you've been in the jaws of death, and you've come out Ukaramahaya victoriously on the other side. When you've seen your kids die right in your arm, you don't know nothing about faith till you've seen God bring them back from the dead. Hallelujah. Somebody listening to me this morning, because you've been through the fire like the three Hebrew children. Woo! They said to their old king Nebuchadnezzar, we don't really really know what God has on his mind. But we know one thing, we're not going to worship your God. Whatever God has on his mind. If we walk in your fiery furnace and toast like a chili pepper, that'll be all right too. We just know that God is going to take care of it. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, was the words of Job, as I've quoted to you already. Now, trust God in spite of your circumstance. In 2 Kings, there is a story that illustrates left my watch, so we're all in trouble now.
No, go on.
2 Kings, there is a story about a man named Elisha, the one who inherited the mantle. Remember that from Elijah. And Elisha had a servant that followed him around. Now, he was an itinerant prophet, a wandering prophet. He passed through a place called Shunem. And there's a great woman at Shunem, a woman of childbearing age and had an older husband. And she saw this prophet come through. She said, Daddy, don't you think, Daddy, don't you think it'd be nice for us to build us a little room, a little prophet's apartment, and give the prophet a place to come and rest when he's coming through Shunem? And the old man, he must have been a good man, said, "Woman, whatever you want to do." I know he's a smart man. "Whatever you want, Mama, whatever you want to do." And she said, "I think I will." And so they built on the wall, built a little room, put a table and a bed and everything and a stool in there. And so the prophet would go in there. And so the prophet and his servant, his valet, were talking one day and said, "You know, something I miss around here is a patter of little feet. That woman, she ought to have a baby, and she don't have any children that I've seen." And said, "Wonder if she want one." And so the Spirit of God came upon him. He walked in there and said, "I say to you, by the word of the Lord, one year from now, you're going to have a bouncing baby boy. You better know what you're talking about, and you get that specific."
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I don't hold with these prophecies so general they fit 10,000 people.
That's right.
And maybe not only one or two of them get hold of it. Are you? I mean, a prophet of the God gets specific. Isn't that right? Get specific. And he did. And they went on their way. Time passed. Till one day when that child was weaning age, whatever that was, 8 or 10. Whatever it was. And he was in the field where his daddy was. And about just before noon, it was hot over there in that part of the world. And it looks as if he might have had a heat stroke, but he fell over my head. And he falls on the ground. They pick him up. And his daddy said, "Carry that boy to his mama." Carried him in. He sat on her lap till high noon and died deader than a doornail. Here is God's promise fulfilled. And God gave her, a barren woman, gave her a son. A miracle from God, and now the miracle's gone. This baby is dead. Will she fold up in a fetal position and suck her thumb, or will she do something about it? Are you listening to me now? I'm telling you, I've been down, my wife and I have been down that road. We've seen things happen in our lives, and you, at that moment, you're going to trust God, or trust your feelings, or trust your senses, or trust your mother-in-law. You're going to do something. I would recommend you trust God. I'd recommend when the circumstance have turned against you, when all hell has been leased against you, and it will, because you're a child of God, you're a threat to the devil, and he'll bring everything he can against you. In that woman, in that moment, that mother took that dead boy and climbed the stairs to that little prophet's room, laid him out on that bed, and said, "Harness me a mule. I'm going to where the man of God is." And said to the servant, "Don't you slow down on my account. You get me there. This is urgent business." And so she goes with all haste up to the hill country. And there's where Elisha and his servant was. And they're looking down. And they've seen her so much. They knew her even without seeing her face. They knew her. And so Elisha said to his servant, "Isn't that the Shunammite woman? Go and check it out and see if all is well with her husband and with her children. Go with her child. Go and see if all is well. And so the servant ran and met her and said, is it all well with you? How about your husband? Is it well? How about your son? That miracle child? Is it well? That woman said, it is well. And at that moment, he was as dead could be back there at the prophet's room. I'm talking about trusting God when circumstances are against you, in spite of your circumstances. Well, I could tell that story, but you know it as well as I do, that the prophet came and raised that baby from the dead and delivered him unto his mother alive. Well, let me tell you something that is a newer story than 4,000 years old, okay?
Amen.
My preacher, pastor, when I was a kid, his name was Wilson, Brother Lon Wilson. I can see him with my mind right now. Tall, lanky preacher. He told this story, and I was just a young, very young man. And he told this story, and he said, one day the children came running in, crying and so excited, and said, little Lonnie fell off the bridge, and he's not moving. And there was a high bridge over a little kind of a dry creek bed with a lot of rocks. And little Lonnie was up on the bridge and had fallen down among the rocks. Brother Wilson says, when I ran and I saw that, he said, my heart turned to ice. He said, it scared me to death. I got down there and I scooped that child up. He was as limp as a rag, was not breathing. His lips were blue. And he said, I couldn't get a breath, couldn't get a pulse. And he said, I carried him up out of that creek bed, up to the house. And he said, the Holy Ghost reminded me of that story of Elisha stretching his body upon the body of that child face to face. And he said, I laid him on my bed. And he said, I crawled up on that boy's body and I stretched myself. And he said, I bombarded heaven. I touched God. And all of a sudden, he started jerking and shaking. And I got off and I looked at him and he was alive. His eyes had popped open. That man. Are you listening to me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All is well because you have faith in God. David Youngi Cho, used to be Paul Youngi Cho, tells this story. He said, the great pastor in Korea, Seoul, Korea, and he said, our church, young people, children went off on an outing for the day. And he said they got food poisoning. And said some of the children died before they could get them to the hospital. Said it was a terrible, terrible thing that they got. And said, but little Cho, his son, oldest son, and said they got him to the hospital. Said I went in and there he was. He had gone. The doctors had covered his face. He's gone. Pastor Cho, little Cho's gone. He's gone. And Cho said, I wasn't ready to let him go.
Amen.
He said, I began to call on God. And I prayed. And I prayed. 1 hour passed. He said, I kept praying. 2 hours passed. I forget the timeline, but it was a long, long time. And the doctors would come in and say, Pastor Cho, let him go. Pastor Cho, let him go. He's gone, Pastor Cho. You're going to have to stop this and give it up and let him go. And he'd shake loose from them and keep on praying. Somewhere in that time frame, that episode, little Cho popped his eyes open, laying there, and now at least he's been in that state for a couple of hours, and he opens his eyes, and a big smile came over his face, and he said, oh, Papa, you'll never know where I've been. Papa, you'll never know where I've been. And he began to tell stories. story. And he said, I saw Jesus. And he began to tell who he'd seen, Bible characters. And he said, I saw sister so-and-so, or mama so-and-so, whatever terminology they use, that died last week. Papa, she's in heaven. And I saw her. And he's talking about all of this. And he said, little Cho, you mean you died and you were in heaven? Oh, yes, Papa. Oh, yes, Papa. And he said, I talked to Jesus. Jesus came to me and said, little Cho, you got to go back. Little Cho, you got to go back. No, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go. Yes, you got to go back. Why do I have to go back? Because your daddy won't stop praying. You're going to have to go back. Your daddy won't stop praying. You're going to have to go back. Friends, that's the kind of faith with tenacious grip upon God. Hallelujah. Things okay with you today? Oh, that reminds me, and a long tirade of how bad things are and how your neighbors are treating you, how your spouse is treating you, how your kids are acting, and how the mortgage company is threatening you, and all kinds of things. Boy, we've got that down pat, haven't we? I mean, somebody says, how are you? I'm telling you, it takes us an hour to tell them how bad. Well, you know what? That woman said to Elisha's servant, all is well, when her child was dead at that very moment. Have faith in God to believe in spite of your circumstance. I close. Horatio Spafford was not a preacher. He was a businessman in New York. Wealthy man, or at least a successful businessman. And they had planned a trip to Europe, his wife and his three daughters. They planned a trip to Europe going over on a steamboat. That's the only way to travel. That's four airplanes in those days. And so something came up in his business and said, I can't go. I can't get away just right now. And he said to his wife, said, you take the daughters and go. And so they agreed. She took the daughters and got on the ship that Mr. Spafford would have been on, and they departed. Well, it was about 2 days or 3 days out. He got this urgent wireless message, SOS, to him, and it was a telegraph from his wife, and said, "Daughters are drowned. Only I am left." That's what he got word. And then news came and hit the papers that this steamship went down in the icy waters of the North Atlantic. That man's world caved in a moment's time. You could get a word this afternoon that will radically alter and change your life forever. Are you listening to me? We don't always get an email from God before all hell breaks loose. That's why we need to live close to Him at all times. We need to be in contact with Him as much as possible at all times, because we don't know from one moment to the next what tragedy will come and touch our lives. Friends, I'm preaching about faith, and I believe in faith, but I'm telling you, we still live on a fallen planet, and the devil's out to kill us all. Are you listening? He's out. But I want you to know God's got one up on Him. He's already prepared for any eventuality. That's my confidence and my trust in Him. This man is, he is grief-stricken like any of us would be. Now he's on another boat, ship, and he's headed to be with his wife. His daughters are gone. Three of them are drowned. Went down with that ship. And now the captain, nearing the place where that ship went down in the North Atlantic, he came to and brought the boat to a stop. And they planted a reef, threw a reef in the water, and did some things. And this man, Horatio Spafford, leaned over the rail when all of the things were done, and the dignitaries and everybody were there. When they went back to their
to their rooms. Horatio Spafford leaned over the rail and looked at the very spot, supposedly, where his three daughters had died and were drowned, and wrote these words. Let me read these words for you in just a moment. I have heard them many, many times at a funeral. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Anda koribi suta rabukoria. Anda rabukoria. Friends, that's worth millions. Yea, a king's ransom. To have the peace of God in your heart that surpasseth all understanding, that will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ.